Good afternoon, morning, evening, whenever it is that you're listening to it. We are just happy that you are. I am Joel Finkelman alongside Liz Rudolph, and this is Trouble with the Slurve.
What? Do we have a name?
Yep, we officially have a name of the podcast. It's going to be a doozy, that's for sure. The Brewers, 7-0 in their last seven games. We have a lot to talk about, obviously. I don't know, Liz, what's your big takeaway from the last week of games here?
I think I already used the word that it's going to come up a lot during this podcast is, what? last episode, our very first episode, the noise that we kept making was just, ugh, gross. But
yeah.
Today, I sit here completely shocked and in a very, very good way. I am pleasantly surprised by the start that the Brewers have gotten off to.
I think that's pretty much the right wording. Pleasantly surprised. Now, I'm trying to temper my expectations
Absolutely.
For this team. Obviously, 7-0 is an awesome start, and I can't look forward to anything, you know, better than just more wins. I'm going tonight, by the way.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going tonight, and I'm going Sunday. So back-to-back.
You know, I thought about it, and I wanted to go because I like Pittsburgh. I know they're in the division and everything, but I think they're a fun team to watch. I really like Andrew McCutchen. He's kind of my boy. I really wanted to see Garrett Cole pitch, but we just missed him because he just pitched a couple nights ago. So, yeah, we're just going to miss him at this homestand. But
yeah, no, I'm looking forward to seeing Edison Volquez tonight. I mean, sort of jokingly. The last time I was at Miller Park when Edison Volquez pitched, it was the infamous game when he hit Ricky Weeks in the face with a 94-mile-an-hour fastball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Ricky Weeks just got right back up. I mean, that dude's a monster. It's like the only compliment I've ever given Ricky Weeks in my entire life.
Tough as nails.
Yeah. I mean, hey, he has a whole like six at-bats this week. I think one hit, two hits. So he's been a monster part. Yeah. But yeah, so I don't know. I told you before the show that I had some crazy stats that I have kind of compiled.
And you haven't given me any idea of what those stats are. So I don't know where they come from. Are they from the beginning of the season here?
They are basically from this little stretch of games. Okay, so I have some here that I've compiled from various sources. So Tom Hardricourt, Mike Fasallo, Brewer sources, whatever. So let me see. The Brewers' 4-5 starters, Marco Estrada and then Willie Peralta. I thought that was just kind of interesting that they outdueled Cliff Lee and Francisco Liriano.
Mm-hmm.
Fun little start. Let me see. The Brewers' road trip involved a scoring discrepancy of 19-0 in the seventh inning or later. So
wow.
Yeah, and I was going to touch on that with some of the stuff that I came up with myself, too.
Mm-hmm.
But seriously, Brewers are pounding bullpens right now.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and then also their bullpen's just untouched. Might as well get to that. The Brewers' bullpen currently this season has 40 strikeouts in 29 and two-thirds innings. Opponents have batted just 149 against our bullpen.
That's unbelievable.
I never thought in a million years I would follow a Brewers team that had the league's best bullpen and the league's best starting ERA. And we're getting to that. So, yes, the bullpen's ERA is 0.91, which is just insane. I mean, obviously, it's a very small sample size.
Right.
But, hey, that's pretty incredible nonetheless. And the team ERA, including the starters, is a 1.86 after last night.
That's incredible. That's really incredible. And,
yeah.
Okay, so this is going to be the theme of today's show is how excited do we get about this and how much do we read into the start, because obviously that's not sustainable. It's not anywhere near sustainable, but how much hope does it give you that this is what this team is capable of?
I mean, okay, I think they're hitting wise, I think they're capable of doing this all season long if they stay healthy. I mean, you know, Ryan Braun, Aramis Ramirez, Jonathan Lucroy, you have an awesome 3-4-5 core. Your young hitters are actually stepping up. Chris Davis, who we talked at length about how ugly his swing was, he seemed to have figured a couple things out.
Mm-hmm.
He's pounding the ball. I mean, he hasn't hit a home run yet, but he's, you know, doubles, singles all day long. Even Scooter Jeanette's getting in the action. Logan Schaefer's doing a nice job. So, I mean, I think this team can hit all season long. I don't think there's going to be a problem there. Pitching, though, I don't know. I mean, they've been amazing to start the year. I mean, there's a reason why the Brewers have the record that they have, and it's because of starting pitching more than anything else. But this isn't going to last, am I right? I mean, do you see it lasting?
See, I'm kind of the opposite as you. I have more hope in the pitching staff than I do the offensive side.
Really?
Because the guys that you mentioned, like Logan Schaefer, and I didn't even have full confidence in Aramis Ramirez, who has been outstanding to start the season. I think he's batting like .395 right now. I don't think that's sustainable. The pitching, I'm a little bit more optimistic about.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the reason why I think it is, I don't know, the reason I'm going with the batting is more sustainable. We're just going to keep using that word. How about that?
We'll absolutely.
Just overuse the word sustainable. I don't know. Like, I feel like there's still a couple key guys that haven't totally gotten going yet. Segura has been pretty quiet batting wise. Mm-hmm. Even Braun, he had one huge game, but other than that, been pretty quiet. A lot of strikeouts, a lot of ugly swings at off-speed pitches that are particularly low. I really watch for that.
Can we talk about the one in particular that he just jacked out of the park? Okay, we'll probably take a segment to talk about the three home run game.
That was something else. That first home run was at his ankles.
That was I think I read it was an 89 mile an hour sinker. It was low.
Yeah.
And away. And I don't even know who swings at that, much less makes contact, much less goes deep.
Yeah, no, there's not many guys in the league. I can tell you that right now. I mean, not Big Poppy, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, yeah, there's probably a collection of 3, 4, 5 guys that could even handle a pitch like that. And, I mean, Braun's pretty special, let's be honest. When he's on his game, he's as good as it gets.
The argument that I have made for Braun through the whole PED scandal is that PEDs can't make you see the ball.
Yeah, I don't think there's any studies that show that they make eyesight better.
But what they do is they turn weak contact into something more. But I still maintain that fundamentally, Braun is a hell of a hitter. And what he can do during his at-bats is unmatched.
Yeah, but, okay, really, just, you know, I don't know. I like to notice trends. That's kind of my thing.
Is it? I'm really glad you have a thing.
Yeah, well, I have a lot of things.
You do. You do.
Yeah, I'm kind of weird like that. But I will say that Braun's start to the season, and I know he's got the thumb issue, so that's hampering him to some degree. It kind of seems like a lot, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But what I will say, though, is that it does seem like, yeah, he still has that kind of propensity to swing at just god-awful pitches for strike three. I don't know what it is. The guy's an elite hitter. But he has never met a curveball or a slider low and inside that he didn't like.
But they don't like him.
No. Well, I mean, okay, one example. He got a hold of one. But, I mean,
he
look at his strikeouts, and they're mostly low and inside.
Pitchers, absolutely.
Yeah, pitchers are pounding Ryan Braun inside right now. And, I mean, obviously, the risk there is that if you miss a pitch just a little bit and show him too much of the plate, he's going to absolutely destroy it.
And that happened consecutive two at-bats. You leave it out over the plate, he's going to get a hold of it.
Yeah. He also doesn't exactly right now seem to be capable of catching up with faster pitchers, you know, 95 plus mm-hmm. right now. I mean, even that 3 home run day was all pitches, I believe, were under 92.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, his thumb is never going to, I don't know, it's not going to get better during the season, but hopefully they can find a way to manage it a little bit more. So, I mean, that's why I was kind of picking the offense, was that I think that they still have some potential to even, like, to grow a little bit more with some of those guys that aren't exactly having huge starts to this year. I mean, Ryan Braun has 3 home runs and 10 RBIs, but come on, that came in one series. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and yeah, Segura, like, does he have a hit yet? I'm being sarcastic. He does.
Yes.
but I mean, still, like, you know, he's not exactly jumping out of the gates like he did last year. I mean, I think he's pressing too hard, though. I think he's trying to repeat what happened last year.
I'm fine with a couple of these guys getting off to slow starts, and I'm fine with one of them being Gene Segura.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about him.
Well, and he's still playing great defense for you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He does all the other little things that pretty damn
well. He's been hit a couple times already.
Has he?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I must have missed those. I've been watching, like, almost every game, too.
I got it that he's got two of them.
Yeah. Well, okay, so are you ready for the real reason why I think that this offense can continue to just mash all season long?
Yes.
All right. So I've looked at the last two games, and another one of the Finkelman things I've noticed. I don't know. We need a name for that.
We need a name for that.
Yeah, where's that segment? The Finkel notice? So anyways, I've looked at the last two games, and yeah, so what I've been noticing is that the Brewers in their first trip through the order have been really bad.
Can we call them Finkelman Fines?
Yeah. Oh, I like the alliteration.
Thanks.
That's good. but yeah, so their first trip through the order has been pretty bad. So just to give you an example, Brewers against Cliff Lee two nights ago. First time through the lineup, 1-for-9 with 5 strikeouts. How's that sound?
Not great.
Nope. All right. So now I'll read you the second time through the lineup. 4-for-9, a double, a triple, 2 runs, 2 RBIs, and just 2 strikeouts.
Holy moly.
Yep. Oh, it gets better. Third time through the lineup, 3-for-6, 2 doubles, a run, and an RBI. So combined for the second and third times through the order, 7-for-15, 3 doubles, a triple, 3 runs, 3 RBIs, and just 2 strikeouts versus 1-for-9 and 5 strikeouts in the first time.
I know it's a limited sample, but to me, once again, this illustrates how... I said streaky last time, and it's not the word. I need a word to describe just how reliant they... Not reliant. What is the word I'm looking for? Joel, help me.
I don't know.
They all get hot at one time, and they're all cold at one time.
Got it.
Is there one word that sums up all of this?
Can it be a hyphenated word?
Yes.
Team streak?
Okay.
1987?
No. Just how blank this team is. It's not reliant.
Wait.
Okay.
Well, wait. It'll come to us. There's more. You ready? Well,
like our podcast name,
yeah.
This will come to us.
It will.
But no, go on.
I was going to say, so there's more. Last night, Brewers against Francisco Liriano. First time through the lineup, 0-for-9 with 5 strikeouts.
Okay.
Pretty similar, right? Second time through, 3-for-8 with 2 home runs, a walk, 3 runs, 3 RBIs. Third time through, 1-for-5, 1 run, 1 RBI, 1 walk. So combined either way, 4-for-13, 2 home runs, 4 runs. I mean, that's back-to-back nights, and that continued through the road trip too, and that's where we saw the 19-0 scoring in the seventh inning and later. Like, I mean, the Brewers are getting to these pitchers and making the necessary adjustments at the plate that they need to. So,
if it was just an isolated incident, if it was just one game, then I would say, well, maybe it just took that inning for the pitcher to get settled down.
But I mean, this has been going on. I mean, like,
right?
Yeah, throughout this, I don't know. I guess the last time
it's
they really got
now.
Yeah, the last time they really got fooled consistently by a pitcher, and I can't believe I'm about to say this. Do you know the name I'm about to say?
Nope.
Aaron Harang.
Oh yeah. I think you texted me Harang, seriously?
Yeah, like, oh god. The season started about like as badly as it could have, Brewers scoring no runs and then losing 2 games at home, and it's turned out a little bit better than that.
Yeah, it's so strange. And I look at the numbers, and hell, I don't even know. As we started to talk about how sustainable this is, how long it goes, do you see a series in particular that you go, nah, I don't think we're going to make it until then?
You're saying, like, how long the win streak goes, or?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you this. I'm going to 2 games. I don't think I've ever been to back-to-back games in which they've won twice.
I don't think I have either.
On top of that, the next series
right
is against St. Louis. So that's an automatic sweep for St. Louis because it is every year. The Brewers are awful against St. Louis.
Yes, and that's why I'm not overly optimistic going forward, because I look at this Cardinal series and I'll be surprised if we don't get swept.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't know if they'll exactly get swept or anything. I mean, I would hope the Brewers could at least win one. But yeah, I've actually made a rule. Like, I will not go to any more Brewer games when they play St. Louis at home unless the tickets are free. I'm not paying money to go watch them lose.
That's a good rule.
And not even watch them lose, but watch them lose by like 6.
In like a no fun way.
Yeah.
I'm fine with the Brewers loss if it was a fun game to watch, but nothing about the Cardinals is fun to me. They just stress me out.
Yeah, god, I just, that team is it's so frustrating. By the way, did you know that the Brewers only have 3 games this entire month that aren't in division?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's let me see.
Yeah, they play the Padres.
Well, I mean, I guess, yeah, for the rest of this month, I should have said. Okay. I mean, because obviously they had Boston, Atlanta, and Philly. But yeah, the Padres for 3. But other than that, right now it's 2 more against Pittsburgh, 3 against St. Louis, 4 against Pittsburgh. And then yeah, San Diego, 3 against the Cubs, and finishing out the month with 3 more against St. Louis on the road.
Much as I'm trying not to read into this start of the season, those wins against the Pirates will make some impact, I would think, if they get a couple more this weekend. Like that, it makes a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, and I think you just gotta just got to try to go into these divisional series and try to win 2 out of 3. Mm-hmm. You know what exactly. I mean? You just have to try to come up with a little bit ahead. I mean, you know, sweeps are great. Everybody wants to win every game. I don't think the Brewers are going to go 160-2. Yeah, that would be right. Not win or not lose a game for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I don't think that's going
to
happen.
No, I don't either. But yeah, you just got to try to do your best to, you know, be the team that ends up with 2 wins instead of 1. And in years past, this has been a team that hasn't been able to do that whatsoever. But now, I don't know, with better pitching, it's a possibility.
Josh Flickinger from the Beloit Daily News was on Prep Corner before we did this. They had a good point that they only have to go 75-75.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of games to go 500. It is a good point, though. I will say that. Yeah, just, I mean, especially with another wild card spot now. I mean, you do have to play the one game play-in.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you just need to be a couple games over 500 at the end of the year to be right in the thick of things. Well, and also, you know, we've seen in years past when teams fall behind, you know, if the Brewers were the opposite right now, if they were 2-8, which they said last year they were 2-6 to start mm-hmm. the year. I mean, you know, it doesn't end your season, but it makes it a lot harder to climb back. I mean, then you're focusing, you know, so much energy on just getting back to 500. You know, being 6 games over right now, even as early as it is, at least it just kind of takes that off your mind a little bit.
It doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
I'm going to read you a headline that summed up my just saying what to start the season. The headline is Mark Reynolds, a perfect fit in Milwaukee Brewers lineup.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, I didn't think it would work out that well with either Reynolds or Overbay. Reynolds is off to a really good start, though.
It talks about his surprisingly well-rounded talents that have been on display. Gives you quality at-bats, sees a lot of pitches. What? No, he swings at everything and he strikes out all the time. Yeah. Like, that's my idea of Mark Reynolds,
yeah.
And he's not living up to that.
Yeah, that might be going a little bit over the top. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know exactly yet. He doesn't see a ton of pitches. But, man, I don't know. You can't really complain with the start of this series. I mean, he's batting .259. So, I mean, yeah, that's about as good of an average as you're possibly going to get out of him for the year. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, 3 home runs to start the year. That's his job, is to play a little bit of defense and mash.
6 RBIs. I'll take it.
Yeah, and I mean, he had a big road trip as well. And, okay, I got to say this. I never really got the opportunity to watch Mark Reynolds much, I guess, in the past few years.
Right.
But, man, when he gets a hold of one, look out.
Mm-hmm.
The home run he hit last night was crushed. I mean, it was like 17 rows up in the left field bleachers. I mean, most of the guys, even like, you know, Ryan Braun, I mean, he has the power to put it anywhere, but a lot of these guys just put him in the bullpen.
Right.
Or put him in row 2.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that ball was bombed. And he had a couple, like, he had one in Philly, too, or if he just gets a hold of it, watch out. It's something else. I mean, but now, since he's been batting so well and playing decently in the field, that Overbay hasn't really had much of a chance to play much.
And I'm all for keeping the guy who's hot in. Yeah. We talked about that with the closer position, which K-Rod has been in for the start of the season. That's fine with me. Leave him in as long as he can, and as soon as he starts to falter. But here's my concern. Can we switch over to the closer role?
Let's do it. It's been a pretty good one.
And I think we touched on it last week. Like, how do you use Henderson? When do you bring him in? And my concern for Henderson is just when we do need him being cold and not being in those situations previously. Do you have any of those concerns?
With Henderson, yeah. And I'll tell you what, it's another Finkel find. We need like a drop now too, like, you know, one of those news anchors.
Finkel
like,
find.
Every game that he's come in and pitched, you know, because he's a guy that last year and the year before, I mean, he was touching, 97, 96 pretty consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Every game he's come in this year so far, his first fastball has been 91 or 92. And I mean, they've gone up. So, you know, throughout the inning, it'll get up to 94, 95, sometimes 96. Mm-hmm. Haven't seen a 97 this year. So, I mean, something's clearly not 100% right with him. I honestly still think he's probably injured.
Right.
Or still just some nagging little injury or something. But yeah, I don't like the fact that his first pitch is 91 because that's eventually silly. Other teams are going to scout that. And he's going to come in with two runners on, you know, trying to mop up. And he's going to groove a first pitch fastball and someone's going to put it out.
Right.
Yeah, until he's really coming in and, like, starting consistently at pitching at that 95 level, I don't want to see him in the closer role. Not to mention, K-Rod can stay in there as long as he can, or like, as long as he wants to if he's pitching the way he is right now.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree.
5 innings, 11 strikeouts. Like, let that settle in for a second. It's 15 outs. 11 of them are strikeouts.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's funny because, what, he used to be a guy that pitched 93, 94, am I right? I mean, in his prime. I mean, it wasn't exactly like he was a fireball or he wasn't throwing 99 or anything. But right now his fastball is at, like, between 89 and 91 miles an hour. But his location is just amazing. Like, last night was spectacular. I don't know. Did you get a chance to watch the end last night?
I didn't.
Oh. I mean, the corners he was hitting were just disgusting. And even, like, his off-speed stuff. I mean, he threw a first-pitch curveball in the ninth inning for a strike. That was perfect. I mean, it just – when he has his, like, when he has his spot, like, spot-on accuracy, when it's really good, he's untouchable still to this day.
Do you think that's one of the biggest surprises of the season so far?
Yeah, I would say so, especially with him, like, what, still getting spines removed from his foot as recently as, like, a week ago from that cactus in the preseason.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, he had, like, 20 of them in there. No, it is really a big surprise. You know what's fun, though? So he's been on our team the last two seasons and then traded. So we've been traded twice from the Brewers. Am I right there? I'm pretty sure.
I think so.
At least I know last year. But so we've gotten two prospects that probably will turn into nothing, but you never know. If the Brewers season ever goes south this year, he's going to get traded again.
And then he's going to come back.
Yeah, he loves it in Milwaukee. He even said so. I mean, I guess just keep shipping this guy out and just keep getting players for him. You think they just bunk together in, like, single A?
Probably.
We're the K-Rod guys.
Oh, Sam.
I gotta look up who those guys are sometime.
So, and the bullpen in front of them,
yeah,
has been very, very good. And, you know, as much as I said that I wanted Tyler Thornburg to do a little bit more, I don't know why I'm so set on trying to make him a starter when he's so good in the bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man, though. If he could pitch half as good as he is in the bullpen as a starter, he would be pretty good. But, I mean, right now the Brewers don't need a starter. He is their sixth guy, you know what I mean? So he will start a game this year for the Brewers, I guarantee it. But, yeah, it's I don't know. He's been a lot of fun to watch. He's been a complete surprise to me, at least. I don't know. Did you see him coming into this year throwing just lights out for multiple innings at a time?
No. I mean, I had confidence in him that I wanted to. I thought he was going to be good, but I did not think he was going to be lights out. And like you said, for multiple innings at a time, I thought we would see glimmers of it. You know, we would see glimpses. We'd see maybe an inning or two in an outing that were very, very good. But we would still have these concerns of like, oh, well, you know, maybe his velocity isn't great or maybe he's not locating his pitches. But he has just been fantastic.
Yeah, well, it's funny because, okay, I think right now if K-Rod got injured and, you know, Renicky still didn't feel comfortable with Henderson, I feel like Thornburg gets thrown in for a save or two. That's how well he's pitching right now.
And how valuable is that to be able to use a guy for us to be able to say, you know, he'll probably start a game, but could also go into a closer role. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, this season, let's see, in just 5 appearances so far, 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 9 strikeouts. He has 2 wins, so that's fun. But yeah, like, here's my whip. It's a stat that I enjoy a little bit better than ERA.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, walks and hits per inning pitched. 0.57. Like, what, 1.2 is, like, a pretty good whip?
Right.
0.57 so far. ERA of 1.29. I mean, this guy's dealing. 9 strikeouts, 0 walks.
1.2 is the highest in the Brewers' bullpen right now.
Wait, really? For real?
Jim Henderson has a 1.2 whip.
Oh, whip.
Whip, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that's incredible. I thought you were saying ERA. I was like, wow, Tyler Thornburg has the worst ERA. Yeah, we're doing pretty well. Yeah, it's he's just, I don't know, like, I guess I never really expected him to be much, to be totally frank. What, he had some limited time last year, was okay. I never thought he was really going to turn into a lockdown reliever.
No, I mean, but he had established himself as a bullpen guy. And like I said, I think my only disappointment came from him not really being able to clear that hurdle, but I don't even need him to right now.
Yeah. Well, and like, okay, look at some of the really good teams from years past. So, I mean, actually, the team I really want to use as an example here, and maybe not a super good team, but Atlanta.
Okay.
So they have Craig Kimbrell, and who's the eighth inning guy there? That's also extremely good. You know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
Nope.
I'm going to let you figure it out.
It's all good. I probably won't. Either way, their bullpen is so good in late innings that it basically forces you to win the game in the first six innings of the game,
mm-hmm.
which is such an advantage. I mean, that's basically like the Rays, or that's what they try to do every year, is have a really dominant bullpen. You know, the Yankees every year when they had Mariano Rivera, you had an eight-inning game and that was it. Sometimes, depending on who the setup guy was, you had a seven-inning game or else you lost.
Mm-hmm.
The Brewers, if this Tyler Thornburg thing can really... if this can pan out, and they have Brandon Kinsler, who's also pitching very well, and if Jim Henderson can get healthy, I think that's safe to say, if he can really get back on his A game, then you're starting to talk about our bullpen as one of those bullpens, one of those bullpens that shortens games. And that's how you win a bunch of games.
Sorry, I just had like a minor epiphany.
Okay.
So have you seen the Brewers happy video?
Unfortunately, yes.
No, stop it.
Okay. Well, it's not even the video's fine. It's just that song. Like, it's so overplayed. I'm done.
That's true.
Like, if I heard it once a month from now on for the next 2 years, I think I'd be okay.
Okay, so it's wonderful. Just let's just get that out there.
Does it make you happy?
Yes, it does. I actually got a little bit emotional when I watched it the first time. Thank you very much. It made me that happy.
Oh, my God. Okay,
Eddie
so...
Cedar and the little and Hank and Luke and Hank, and everything is wonderful.
Man, I do love Eddie Cedar. I love Eddie Cedar. I don't know why. I think it's because of the double hand wave. Have you ever noticed that when they announced the team, you know, along like the first base side or third base side or third base side, whichever, you know, if they're on the road or
put
whatnot.
Put both hands up. Like,
yeah,
Eddie
he does like the double queen wave. It's great. but anyway, so what about the video?
I had a question. Towards the end, standing to the right of Tyler Thornburg in like that group of three guys, three of whom I assume are pitchers.
You're going to ask me who it is, aren't you?
Who's the guy in the middle?
I have no clue.
I asked Josh Flickinger, and he thought that it was Gorzolani. I'm like, no, it's way too attractive to be Gorzolani.
Wait, where is Gorzolani? Is he injured?
Oh, we haven't seen him.
Wait, is he even on the team?
What happened to Gorzolani?
Wow, this is really sad.
This is bad. We're not going to pause it, and we're not going to edit it out. You're all going to learn along with us when we find out what happened to Tom Gorzolani.
Yeah, who seems to be as, I don't know, absent as Wei Cheng Wong. I'm gonna go ahead and say yes.
Current team Milwaukee Brewers. He didn't get traded. We haven't seen him yet. He's got to be hurt, right?
15-day DL.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, thank God. Wow, that was bad.
That was a bad moment in.
Well, you know what? It's not even that unfair. Like he's a reliever, and they move around all the time, and he hasn't even pitched a single game or been mentioned on the broadcast or TV or radio broadcast once. So it's not that bad. I don't feel bad for not knowing where he was.
That's fine.
Maybe it was Gorzolani then.
But no, I maintain that it's way too attractive to be Gorzolani.
I mean, I'm not the expert on attractive men.
So then I thought maybe it was Brandon Kinsler.
Also
it
could
seems
be.
Seems about that age range.
I would have to see the video again. And,
oh, I'm going to make you watch it.
I don't know about that.
Logan Schaefer has some good moves in that video. Carlos Gomez makes me really happy.
Well, yeah. I mean, Carlos Gomez is basically, that song is made for Carlos Gomez.
Martin Maldonado is holding a boombox, which is wonderful.
Yep. There's a part, I think the part that I really liked, there's like, Jim Henderson is standing on the left of somebody, And then there's another reliever on the opposite or the opposite side. Mm-hmm. And the guy in the middle is rocking out, and Jim Henderson and the other guy are just staring at each other, like, with a scowl on their face.
I think we're talking about the same moment.
Are we?
Towards the end? Yeah. I'm going to make you watch it, and you're going to need to figure out who this is.
Yeah.
If any of our listeners at home
know
who the guy in the middle is.
I guess
standing next to Tyler Thornburg.
We just pimped the happy video for the Brewers for about
that song is insufferable, isn't it?
Yes, and that's what I just told you, and you totally defended it for like 5 minutes.
No, like I could mute it and be fine watching it, or maybe that's what I'll do is I'll just pick another song. I'll throw I was going to say Daft Punk, but they're pretty overplayed as well.
Yeah, can we say that Hank is becoming insufferable to some degree? Hank the dog, who I should mention, for the two people in the world that haven't realized that the Brewers found a stray dog and exploited it for millions and millions of dollars. Like, really, they have a whole section in the fan store at Miller Park literally devoted to Hank's shirts and whatever. I'm not even joking.
A portion of those donations go to the Wisconsin Humane Society.
How much? Shouldn't all of them?
Absolutely. Like, so that's how I would defend this when everybody started to get...
I didn't know that. So
that is how I would defend it. I said, no, but like the proceeds go to the Wisconsin Humane Society. I really wanted it to be all of the proceeds go to the Wisconsin Humane Society because it absolutely should.
Yeah.
But I think it's like 20%.
That's it? Oh, my God.
I know.
Brewers.
That's what I said. Like, then you're just making money off of a little scruffy dog.
But seriously, I mean, he's cute. It's a cute dog, but it's just they've kind of overplayed it a little bit. Hank spent more time in that video than Bob Uecker. Bob Uecker.
I suppose.
The legend. The man, the myth, the legend. Bob Uecker.
Finkelman, ruiner of hopes and dreams and things that make me happy.
Yeah, I don't like puppies. I don't like puppies and happy music.
Finkelman told me an interesting stat before we started the show is that the Brewers are 7-0 since Hank got neutered.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Wonder how Hank's feeling about that. Tough life.
Yeah. I couldn't even respond to that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think all the coaches on the team, like first base, third base, we need Marcus Thanell, the Brewers bullpen catcher. I think they all need vasectomies.
Oh, good Lord.
That's what I'm saying. No. It's a streak thing. Baseball players are very, like...
superstitious.
Yeah, very, very superstitious. Hank got neutered. They win 7 games. Now it's time for some others to get neutered. We got to get the wins going.
Oh, my God.
Or maybe we wait until they start losing. And then they get, then they get fixed. Yeah, I mean... Yeah,
can't even respond to it.
No. Okay, well, I tried.
I have a question for you, Finkelman.
Let's do it.
What was the final number that you hung on the Brewers for their wins this season, last episode?
I believe it was 76.
Was it over 75?
I want to say so. I want to say it was 76 and what would that make it, 86? Maybe it was 88.
78.
No. I think I said 76. I'm almost positive about that number. So, yeah, 5 games under.
I had originally said 85.
Okay.
And you said, whoa.
Yeah.
That's a little bit optimistic, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I did think. And then I retooled. And I said, okay, like maybe we're going to struggle to get 80.
Okay.
I think I'm going to renege again.
Go back to 85?
Go back to my 85. Is it too soon to do that?
I mean, I would personally say so. But you're free for your own opinions.
Thanks. I'm my own woman.
You
know what? You really just try to ruin my optimism. So
I am the most negative person you'll ever meet.
That's not true. I know Corey Glore.
Ouch. Shots across the bow.
Oh, he would admit it. It's nothing he doesn't know.
See, though, I don't. I'm part of that class of people that uses this quote, and I hope you're ready for this. The quote of, "I'm not negative. I'm a realist." I use that. I'm one of those guys. So, I don't know. Like, to everybody else, I seem really negative and down.
So you don't see a difference between a realist and a pessimist?
No, not really.
Well, I don't either.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't know. I drag people down. It makes me happy. What can I say? I'm an awful
You're a bad
human being.
Person.
But yeah, what? Were you going to ask me if I'm sticking with my prediction
yes.
or if I'm bumping my number up? Well, I think I said last week that I'm a stubborn dude, right? I don't know. Either way, I'm stubborn. As well as being the biggest downer on the planet, I'm also stubborn.
You're stubborn and you're pessimistic, but you're a realist.
Yeah, and part of that stubbornness means that the Brewers still have to play the Cardinals like 19 times this season.
Mm-hmm.
And will inevitably lose 12 to 15 of those.
Agreed.
So, no, I'm keeping my number. I think like in 1987, team streak, what, Brewers start the season 13-0?
Right.
But then also had a 12-game losing streak in that year in May. I wasn't alive for that, by the way. So check out my historical knowledge, huh?
The inverse of this will happen, and I predict that it will happen probably toward the end of May. Like, I don't think we make it out of May without a similar losing streak.
Well, okay, here, I got a question for you. Okay. When during the season do you think the Brewers touch 500? I mean, it could be in the next six games if they lose all six. I'm just, you know, like, when, or do they? I mean, are you that confident that they get to 85 and they just keep a couple games ahead all season? What do you think?
I think they touch 500 by the end of this month because they see the Cardinals twice.
This is going to be a rough month for them.
They end April, three games against the Cubs, I'm fine with that, and then three games in St. Louis.
Yeah, and a four-game road trip against the Pirates, too.
Yeah.
I could see that. So what, the end of April, you're saying?
Yeah, I don't think we make it into May above 500.
I'm saying mid-May. I'm saying they hold on to this for a little while.
You don't think they touch 500 until mid-May?
Yeah. So isn't it weird that I'm being more optimistic about the 500 level, but yet I think they're still going to end up losing a bunch of games? I'm predicting a bad second half for the Brewers.
You know they play the Yankees the second week of May, right?
Well, there we go. By the way, I wish that getting tickets to a Yankees game at Miller Park would be easy, like, or, you know, wouldn't be super expensive. But I will definitely be tuning in on TV because I really want to see the crowd's reaction when they show CC Sabathia.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
I mean, that's his first time back.
Mm-hmm.
That crowd is going to go bananas. I mean, really.
Good point. Oh, that'll be fun. I'm going to the game on the 9th.
Yeah, I don't know when. I mean, hopefully he pitches. That'd be cool. Also, it'd be double cool because he's bad now.
So you want to see him get a standing ovation and then get lit up.
And then get a standing ovation as he walks off the field. What a shame, though. That guy can only pitch like 88 miles an hour now.
Yeah.
But then again, here's a lesson to all you children out there. Don't be 320 pounds and then be a pitcher.
And then try to be an athlete.
Yeah.
Do you have a problem with that?
Do you have a
problem with athletes who are over 300 pounds and not on a D-line for a football team?
So, like, Tony Stewart?
Yes.
He's not 320 pounds. No. I'm just making a NASCAR joke. Yeah, I think it's a little odd that guys like, Daly in golf can be a golfer when he's just incredibly out of shape. And then you got, like,
care about golfers or NASCAR drivers. Sorry.
Well, okay. But then you got, like, David Ortiz, David Wells, like these guys that, I mean, okay, David Ortiz is not maybe a great example because I think he's just massive and all muscle.
Yeah.
Whether it's legit or not. Yeah, I don't like to say if it is or not. Just add the Jim Rome allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, I don't know. Look at David Wells. Like, seriously, look at the guy when he was a pitcher.
Right.
When he threw a perfect game, that dude must have been pushing like 280.
How do you feel about guys like Prince?
Yeah, it's funny. I got to see Prince in person like 2 feet away because I got an autograph from him at spring training.
Nice.
Yeah, I was one of those kids. It's funny because I was taller than him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's 5'10". He's short.
He is just portly. He's just a round man.
And I'll tell you what, though. Like he's not fat. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, he is.
No.
When was this?
Well, okay. He's gigantic, but he's not fat. Do you know what I'm saying? His body is made of, like, a ridiculous amount of muscle mass.
I would buy that for, like, his lower half and his arms. But his torso is not muscle.
I mean, I just got to see his forearms, really.
His forearms were
like rock climbers' forearms.
No athlete, and not anybody who swings the bat that much, has fat forearms.
You need a strong wrist.
Body is not muscle.
No, I know. I'm just saying that, like, he's not, like, rolling over, you know, it just like, yeah, it just rolls over rolls, like, and like seven chins. I mean, he's like ripped fat. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the guys that are like at the gym and they're like weirdly overweight, but still kind of like country strong. Do you get what I'm saying?
Country strong.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite descriptions of anybody. Like Adam Dunn, he's country strong.
Oh my God, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, and pretty much everybody that plays for the Badgers is described as country strong. Every basketball player that grew up on a farm.
So every like big white kid?
Yeah, you basically have to be white. That's one of the rules of being country strong. Or country strong. It's kind of racial. I don't know why.
People always talk about...
If you grew up on a farm throwing bales of hay and they can talk about that during the broadcast, it's a plus.
So like the White Sox? Not so much anymore, but for a while.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, Adam Dunn. Right. Adam Dunn is like the quintessential... He personifies country strong.
I listened to a podcast where they just described that as White Sox body. And it was just having a soft, shitty body.
Oh, man.
I can say that it's the internet, right?
Yeah, I don't care.
Are you going to bleep me out?
Nope. Do you think I'm going to do work on this?
I do.
No, we're going to put an intro. We're going to put an outro. And we're going to poster. Speaking of which, so where can we find it?
Podomatic, right?
Yeah.
Well, now it's going to be named. Like, yeah. I'm going to have to change it.
Yeah, we're going to have to change it to, you know.
It was Finkelman and Friends.
We're working on getting it up on iTunes, so you can subscribe, on any podcast app.
You'll be able to find it anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's we're blowing up. We're a big deal.
You can find me on Twitter.
Yeah.
At Liz Conson. I'm going to have to change my work Twitter account.
Why?
I can't be LizzySPN1380 anymore.
Oh, so you're not going to be verified anymore.
The day
that was a joke.
The day that I topped 100 followers, I really wanted to get a check mark.
Oh, I
thought I had made it. Like this is the moment I get verified. I never did.
Yeah, I want to learn about the verification process, like how exactly it works.
Like, do you have to just send a selfie with a sign that says this is actually me?
No, like a majority of the time, like they like contact you. It's like a really weird process.
I always like to see the discrepancy or the disparity between athletes getting verified. There'll be like a random pitcher that will surface on Twitter and he'll get verified with like 1500 followers, but somebody bigger will join and it'll take a lot longer for anybody to
care.
That's
what I'm saying. The process is weird. Either way, would you like to guess how many followers I have? It's a pretty staggering number.
280.
Oh, give me a break. What platform do I have to gain followers? 57.
Ooh. We'll grow that number.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
Do you pay attention to Seth's family barbecue anymore? Okay, I shouldn't say anymore, ever. Have you ever... Okay, you have to follow Seth's family barbecue.
Okay.
It's these two, like, 18-year-old kids who just make funny jokes about baseball a lot and then talk about how they're in college and what their lives are like.
Okay.
So their Twitter presence has grown exponentially in the last year. And I would say about 6 months ago, they retweeted something I said about Yasiel Puig. And I probably gained 50 followers overnight.
Really?
All I wanted was to top 100. And then by the end of that night, I think I had like 75. I had well over 100.
Wow. Yeah, I was gonna
They've
say.
Since dwindled when they realized that I wasn't actually funny.
Okay, well, here, if you're throwing out a baseball thing to follow on Twitter, I'm going with Old Hoss Radborn.
Oh, yes, yes.
He retweeted something I'd said one time. It was that pretty much made my life. I was that happy.
Do you follow Not Buster Olney?
No. Okay. I need to. I love the fake accounts. Like, it's fake ESPN is, like, super raunchy but super funny.
The Not Buster Olney account is mostly just yelling about Mike Trout. It's just Mike Trout in all caps all the time.
Well, tell you what. So you could follow her at, what was the full tag again?
Liz Conson, LizConsin.
All right. You can follow me at Joel the F, JoelThef. Pretty simple. I think you want to wrap it up there?
Yeah, that's fine. Because if we go on for any longer, I'm going to start talking about True Detective, and that's a different podcast.
Dude, let's do a True Detective podcast.
That's fine with me.
All right. We're doing a True Detective podcast sometime. Let's kill it. All right. So thanks for tuning into Trouble with the Slurve. We will see you guys probably next week. I don't know. We can probably make this a weekly thing.
Let's make it a regular thing.
Saturdays. I like it. So we'll see you guys next week. Have a great one.